Hey everybody, so good to be with you. Well, I guess I'm not really with you. I'm talking to a camera right now, and I wish I could be with you in person. I wish we could all be together in person. It's a little bit strange having to do it this way, but I'm really thankful for the ability to at least do something, to be able to communicate with you, for us as a community to interact in some form or fashion. You may have been wondering where I've been over the last couple of weeks. On March 11th, we flew out of Vancouver on a vacation in the United States. And the very next day, all of this craziness began here in Canada with the COVID-19 crisis. We flew back and arrived home last Thursday morning, have been in quarantine ever since. We are back and happy to be with all of you in this time of great change. We don't totally know what the future holds. We don't know how long we need to do online church, but we're trying to flex and change with the new challenges and opportunities set before us. This is a great opportunity for us to do ministry in a new way, and so we continue to experiment with this. So I pray that you guys would join us in this experimentation and improve our ministry remotely. Pastor Phil, last couple weeks have been speaking on Mark 13, which is really, really interesting because we've just been working through the book of Mark, and yet Mark 13 was just so timely as Jesus talks to the disciples about the coming destruction of the temple, the coming changes that they were going to experience in Jerusalem and Israel and around the world. He tells them of the kind of the bad stuff that is going to happen. And yet in the middle of that, he encourages them that he's going to be with them, that they're going to be okay, that God was going to be in control. In this time, I would encourage you not to get spiritually tired. At the end of Mark 13, he encourages disciples. He says, be awake, be ready, be spiritually aware. Don't get spiritually lazy at this time. And I would encourage you as well, God wants to do something in this time. And I think that this moment in history has woken us up. And I look forward to seeing what God has in store. We're still walking through Mark, and it is leading us towards Easter. We're getting ever closer. Mark 14 is the week just before Passover. It's days actually before Passover. And so we're going to read that today, Mark 14, verses 1 to 11. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but you could follow with us today in any translation that you have in your Bible at home. This is how it goes. It was now 2 days before Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law were still looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and kill him, but not during the Passover celebration. They agreed, or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Some of those at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume, they asked. It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor. So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You'll always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. Let me read that again. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priest to arrange to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted when they heard why he had come, and they promised to give him money. So he began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. One of the first things that sticks out to me when we read this passage is that Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. That was their COVID-19 2,000 years ago. But let me tell you, it was way worse. it wasn't just a virus that they hoped would go away within a couple weeks or months or even years. It was there to stay. And when someone had leprosy, they weren't getting rid of it. As we see throughout the life of Jesus, he is never afraid of our sicknesses and diseases. He enters into them with us and brings physical, emotional, and psychological healing and restoration. Simon was a man that was most likely healed by Jesus. He was most likely healed by Jesus. It's only understanding we can have why Jesus would be in the home of Simon who'd previously had leprosy. No matter where you are today, whatever you are dealing with, no matter how hopeless it seems, when you look at the news and you see what's happening in the world today, no matter how hopeless it seems, Jesus wants to enter into that with you. He wants to walk that journey with you and bring healing, whether that is physical, emotional, or psychological. How do we view this in light of the coronavirus epidemic? Should we ignore it? Should we ignore this virus and can you continue on with life as normal? I believe the wisdom of God that he gives us is that we should take the necessary precautions that we know that our medical professionals and scientists are telling us and take those proper precautions. Some of us are going to be called to step into danger of this virus to minister to those who are in need. Jesus was called to step into the gap and to minister to those in need and take on that danger in reality. For those of you who are in the medical profession, doctors, nurses, those of you who are on the front lines who are having to deal with people, you're called to step into that gap, to step into the danger, to minister to people within need. For many of us, we look at the precautionary measures, and sometimes we look at the promises of God, and we don't know exactly how to balance those two. Sometimes it feels like people either want to take one or the other. Either they take precautionary measures, and they do it out of a lot of fear, and they live in fear. Or else we want to wipe the fear aside and we want to believe in the promises and the protection of God. And when we do that, we think, I don't need to think of any of the precautionary measures. I don't think we need to separate these two. I think that they go hand in hand. Precautionary measures don't have to be fear-based. We can take the precautions that we're told to take, but we don't have to do it out of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. We don't need to hoard out of self-preservation. God promised us that he would provide for all of our needs. We need to continue to reach out and love on each other. That is more important than anything else. It might not be in person. We might not be able to love on each other in person. It might have to be in this digital world that we live in. But to reach out and love to others so that they know that they're cared for. I'm reminded of the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph was hated by his brothers. And so they took him. Originally, they were wanting to kill him. Then they downgraded that a bit and decided, well, let's just throw him into slavery instead. They intended harm to Joseph. But what they intended to harm Joseph with, God took that and ultimately turned it around for good. He turned around for good for Joseph, for his brothers, and also for the entire world at that time. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, this is what Joseph says to his brothers when they finally find him years later. Joseph says to them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good." You know, with this crisis, with this coronavirus that we're experiencing, I believe that the enemy intends this to harm a lot of people. This is the work of the enemy. This isn't the work of God. This is the work of the enemy. But what the enemy has intended for evil, what the enemy has intended to harm us, God intends it for good. Let's go back to the story of Jesus and the woman who poured the perfume, the oil upon his head. Early in the first century, one of the leaders of the church, his name was Pliny the Elder, remarked that the best ointment is preserved in alabaster. Alabaster was incredibly valuable. It was a valuable, it wasn't just a regular clay jar, but it was, alabaster is this white rock. In fact, back in 2016, my family and I traveled throughout northern Italy, and we went through a city called Volterra, which is known for its beautiful alabaster. And everything that was made in that city out of alabaster was valuable, it was gorgeous, it was beautiful. This wasn't your regularly $50 bottle of Chanel or Dior. In fact, within the scriptures themselves, the disciples suggest it was worth a year's wages. Can you imagine? Can you imagine spending your money or having a bottle of perfume or oil that was worth an entire year's wages? This woman took something that was so valuable and poured all of its contents out in one sitting. This very well could have been a family heirloom, something passed down from mother to daughter. Maybe it was a way to invest money for them. It was small, it was easily sold, and yet so incredibly valuable. It could have been her retirement income, if you want to look at it that way. Typically, when a guest arrived for a meal at this point in history, it was customary to anoint the guest's head with a dab of oil. Here, this woman went much further than the customary greeting. She poured the entire contents of an alabaster flask of very costly oil on the head of Jesus. Oil represented the Holy Spirit. The priests were anointed with oil. They poured oil over the head of the priests to prepare them for ministry. We see kings in the Old Testament as well being anointed with oil. I think of the story of David and Samuel and how Samuel poured oil, an entire flask of oil over the head of David to anoint him as king. Oil often signified prosperity. It signified blessing as well as healing. This was an incredibly wonderful act from this woman. Jesus rode into Jerusalem as a king. We look at Mark chapter 11, several chapters earlier, where Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, being proclaimed as the Messiah, the King of Kings. Shouldn't the king be anointed in this way? Jesus is also our high priest. Shouldn't he be anointed in this way as our high priest? What's so fascinating is that Jesus sees it for so much more than that. Jesus actually sees it as a prophetic symbol referring to his death and burial. Perfumes would have been used in the burial process. He wasn't there yet, but Jesus is pointing us to the cross. We're a few weeks away, just like this story was a few days away from the death and resurrection of Jesus. But I encourage you in this time of preparation to look to the cross. Jesus was constantly pointing towards his sacrifice on the cross for us. And he uses this moment of the oil being poured on his head to once again point towards his burial and saying, man, this is such a beautiful thing. She's preparing my body for burial. It had so many meanings what this woman did, more than what this woman could have ever imagined. But this is what is most important. And this is what Jesus said. She did what she could. She did what she could. Listen, the disciples were looking at what she did and they started criticizing her for it, thinking it was an entire waste, thinking it could have been used for something more proper, like feeding the poor and those in need. But Jesus never chastised her. He praised her for it because he knew exactly where she was at. He knew what she had, and he knew that she did what she could. She honored Jesus and she worshiped Jesus with what she had and what she could. We could analyze this all day long and attempt to figure out how we should honor God, how we should worship Jesus, but that statement says it all. At the end of the day, she did what she could. She honored Jesus with what she had. She couldn't do what others were doing, but she could do this. Isn't that what God is asking of us today? All of us are limited today with where we can go and to a certain extent with what we can do. I would encourage you, worship and honor him with what you have. Do what you can. Don't compare yourself to what others are doing. This woman, she came up with her own creativity, her ingenuity, and what she had to bless Jesus. In the time that we are in now, how is it that we can honor God? What is it that you have in your hand? Do what you can. What resources do you have? Just last night, a woman in our neighborhood that I don't even know reached out to me through Facebook and said, "Hey, I heard that you're in quarantine and I have some extra food that I have here in the house. Can I bring it to you?" This woman didn't even know me, but she was willing to have what she had on hand. She was willing to do what she could to bless somebody else. Jesus makes it clear that when we love others, that when we love our neighbor, we are loving him. What resources and ability do we have to love on others? It is maybe going to look different for you than it will for me. So when we look at this story, the disciples criticized the woman for wasting money. They didn't understand it. But Judas, who was very focused on money, wasted his life. The woman would be remembered for all time for the one act of love she did. But Judas would be remembered for all time for the one act of selfishness and self-preservation that he did. Let me say that again. The woman would be remembered for all time for the one act of love she did. But Judas would be remembered for all time for the one act of selfishness and self-preservation he did. I think of the moment that we're in history. What will we be remembered by? Maybe one act of love, one act of sacrifice that you can do, maybe be remembered for a lot longer than you would ever think it would be. We see where people are acting in all sorts of manners as self-preservation. Let's act in self-sacrifice instead of self-preservation. You know, these disciples, they criticize this woman for what she did. It's easy to criticize others and what they do. Easy to look down on others who are doing what they can to honor God. It probably looks different from what you can do. Sometimes we don't understand it, but it is between them and God. I see people all over the internet constantly criticizing different Christians, different theology, different ways that they're expressing their love for God. What the disciples saw as waste, Jesus saw as beautiful. What the disciples saw as waste, Jesus saw as beautiful. So as we look at this scripture once again, the things that I would just want to point out to you and remind you once again is that no matter where you are at, Jesus wants to enter that journey with you. No matter where you're at, he wants to enter that journey with you. The other thing that sticks out is offer what you can up to God. Do what you can, because God sees it as beautiful. And the last thing, everybody's offering up to God will look different. It's going to look different. Use your creativity and know that your Heavenly Father is smiling down on you when you use what you can to honor him and be a blessing to others. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person who is listening today. God, I pray that they would know that you are with them, no matter what their situation is. God, in the midst of this, I pray, O Lord, that we would be able to do what we can. God, what do we have? What's available to us? How can we honor you? How can we worship you in this? God, I pray, O Lord, that you'd help us to use our creativity, our ingenuity, and the things that you place in our hands. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would know that it's going to look different, that we don't have to rip down or criticize what others are doing, but God, live our lives out as your servants, doing what we can. God, I pray, Lord, that you be with everybody today. Lead them, guide them, protect them. God, I pray, Lord, for your provision in every single person's life. God, we look forward to what you're going to do in the midst of what is happening today. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to leave you with a blessing that we see within the Old Testament, a prayer. This is from the New Living Translation, so it might sound a little bit different, but it says, "May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace." May you have a good Sunday. May you have a good week. Would love to hear from you. Stay in contact. Be blessed.